Join the Pop Goes the Culture crew April 6th and 7th at the Columbus Convention and Trade Center in Columbus, Georgia for Georgia Comic Con. We'll have tons of vendors, artists, exhibits, performances, panel programming, cosplay, and so much more, including Q&A sessions with guests like Ross Marquand, Gray Delisle, Lou Ferrigno, Sam Jones, Boo Boo Stewart, John Morton, Erica Harlicker, Scott Ennis, Power Rangers stars Austin St. John, Steve Cardenas, and Karen Ashley, WWE Hall of Famer Brutus the Barber Beefcake, and more. Get your tickets online today at GeorgiaCon.com and join us April 6th and 7th in Columbus, Georgia for Georgia Comic Con. We'll see you there. Welcome to the Pop Goes the Culture podcast for Friday, March the 29th. It's a good Friday here at the Pop Goes the Culture podcast, the last Friday in the month of March. Coming in like a lion and going out like a lamb, apparently.
Is it considered Good Friday?
It's Good Friday.
What's Bad Friday? Friday the 13th?
There you go.
There it is.
That's the difference.
You going to play that music again?
The Friday the 13th? No, because it's not Bad Friday. It's a Good Friday.
It's Good Friday. You got to play the Christian music.
You got to play the...
All right.
My name is Joey Mills. I'll be one of your hosts today. We are coming to you from the Alamo Draft House right here in Springfield, Missouri. Joining me on the show this week, I've got...
Dusty Trails, as always.
Curtis Stout.
Not as always. You weren't here last week.
I wasn't here. Not as always. Most of the time. Dusty Trails most of the time.
Josh or Recharge05 or whatever you want to call me.
Well, I got names for you. And Zach is off this week. So thanks, everybody, for being here. Thanks, everybody, listening to the show whenever and wherever you're able to join us from. Hit us up on social media. Let us know where you're at. Because apparently they've changed the way tracking and reporting works through our podcast. So it'd be nice to know where you're actually coming from.
Because I'll tell you where we're coming from. The soul.
That's right. We should do a soul podcast.
Soul.
Well, we have another soul podcast. We haven't done it yet.
Dude, who's going to have time for a second podcast?
Well, we got some time off here.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, exactly. Well, what has everybody been up to since the last time we were together? We'll start with Curtis because you did the film festival. So you got some results from us.
Yeah, I got some results.
Hit us up. What do you got?
All right. So
this was down in Miami, Florida.
Miami. Yes. Not Florida. Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. Miami, Oklahoma.
Sorry. It's not as cool. Happy Halloween walked away with a lot of awards. They won. Let me pull up my notepad here.
Say, list all the awards.
Best feature thriller film for Happy Halloween and Festival Director's Choice horror film Happy Halloween. And then they also won best songwriting and best song for the song Coming Back to You, which Max Pulaski and Emma Reiningel. I'm sorry, Emma, if I said your last name wrong. I've never known how to pronounce it properly. So congratulations to them. And our short film, Hope Lost, won Best Supporting Actor in a Short Film for Stephen Denton. So,
nice.
Yeah, we're pretty proud of that. So,
yeah,
that was our weekend.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
Pretty nice.
I could bring up, you know, we didn't win the Smodcastle.
Yeah, no.
But apparently it was an upset because people really liked ours.
Yeah, but what are they going to say? Like, man, nobody's going to be walking around mingling afterwards being like, well, that was trash.
Yeah, right.
They're going to say, oh, man, I really dug it.
They gave it to a group that's from Jersey. So.
Yeah. Yeah. The hometown team.
Yep. Yeah.
How about you guys, Dusty and Josh? What have you been up to?
Let you go first.
Recharge. Well, unfortunately, I'm temporarily unemployed from being a hell diver.
What happened?
But I'll let Dusty tell you the good news.
Did you get banned?
I got my arms blown off.
No, I mean in the game.
No, we found a better employment.
Oh, so where are you?
Did
guys,
we?
What are you playing now?
We're Ghostbusters now.
Are you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but we're transitioning out of.
I don't think you can say Ghostbusters, can you? that's copyrighted.
Phasmophobia.
Yeah, we've been playing a lot of Phasmophobia lately. Where you pull up in a van, basically, and get out at these haunted
like
places.
Like Scooby van?
You get out of the van, and then you go into people's houses with equipment.
Like with their permission?
So you're in a U-Haul, okay. You're in a U-Haul truck with the logos painted white. So there's no logos, and you get out with this equipment and go in these houses and try to find these ghosts with a bunch of tools and stuff. And it's kind of spooky. It's completely dark most of the time and wherever you're going in, so...
Yeah,
you get a little jump scared on occasion, but it's a lot of fun. But we are transitioning out of there, moving on to another game called Enshrouded. Maybe some Diablo 4 now that it's free to play, and possibly some Sons of the Forest.
Well, there you go.
If you were a Ghostbuster, which Ghostbuster would you be?
The one that doesn't actually go catch the ghosts.
Somebody who stays behind.
Yeah,
the secretary.
Your
Annie Potts.
The driver. There you go. Let's be the driver.
I'll be out here in case you guys need me.
Yeah, I'll hang here.
Right on. Well, so a couple things I caught over the past week or so. The Beetlejuice 2 trailer, which doesn't really do anything, but it is a nice little
more
nostalgia.
I think it's a teaser.
Yeah, it is. It's like a setting the tone kind of thing. Like, hey, remember these people?
Yeah, they're still alive.
And the beans.
Well, maybe they're alive in the movie. We don't know. Beetlejuice is dead. He's like a ghost.
I mean, the actors are still alive.
So, well, some of them. The Penguin trailer over on HBO Max. If you liked the Penguin in the last Batman movie, it was Colin Farrell pretending to be Robert De Niro. Apparently, this is going to be an entire miniseries or whatever, 6-episode, 8-episode show on HBO Max just focused on the Penguin.
All right.
We'll see. We'll see how it looks. It looks like they're going for a mob kind of vibe to it.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I saw a trailer this week.
What'd you see?
The Bad Boys trailer.
Bad Boys, whatever it's called.
Yeah. It looks like they're apologizing to Joey Pants for what they did to him in the third movie because he's back in this one.
Yeah, well, did he?
Sort of.
I mean, he likes the paycheck, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he likes being in the series because it's not really gone that well after 2.
Right. Yeah.
There's a reason it took him, you know, a quarter century to come up with the third one.
Yeah. I mean, considering what they did to him in that third one, it was really stupid.
Yeah.
But, oh, well.
Well, he's back.
I don't know what to say other than that.
Yeah.
He's also in the Penguin series.
Joey Pants?
I don't think he is.
Oh, well.
So Roadhouse on Amazon.
I watched
came
it.
Out. Okay,
yeah,
so let's talk about Roadhouse. What did you think of the movie?
I think that it was a really good spin on a modern day version of the Roadhouse.
I feel like if they had not called it Roadhouse, nobody would have a bad thing to say about it.
How was Conor McGregor's acting?
He was just goofy as shit.
Well,
was it
good
or bad?
He's not. Look, first of all, he's not an actor.
Right.
So you have to take that in consideration when you
cast
wondering. Him into a role.
And that's
of
why
an
they
acting.
Gave him the goofiest stuff to do.
Yeah, he just walks around all like
walking around, strutting
around all the time. You know, the first scene you see him in is he's completely naked. So,
like, and then he ends the movie with his butt hanging out.
Yeah.
Of the hospital gown.
I mean, he's clearly like a good-looking dude in real life.
He's got muscles. He's toned. The movie, had it not been associated with Roadhouse, I think it wouldn't have got, because when you tie yourself to Roadhouse, but you have nothing in common with it other than the name of Roadhouse of the movie. And there were little nods and nudges here and there, like, hey.
Well, I like the whole, like, why are we calling it Roadhouse?
Because that's just the name of the place.
Yeah, it's like Roadhouse. The whole the vibe, like, the name of this place makes no sense at all. That was like in the movie.
Yeah, and the name of the movie, calling it Roadhouse, made no sense at all.
Yeah.
Just call it something brand new, and it's a fine
I mean,
movie.
I liked it.
Yeah, it was good. It was more of an action comedy than the original. The original took itself way too seriously, even though it was as goofy as could be. I liked the you know, some of the shots were pretty cool in it. You know, when they would do some of the, like when he's in the back of he gets hit and lands in the back of the truck, and kind of the camera goes with him or whatever. It's pretty cool. So there was some fun. There was good stuff about the movie. It was just. By connecting it to a movie that is kind of like a cult classic kind of following, I feel like if they just called it something else and not just let you find out during the movie that it has some connections to Roadhouse without calling it Roadhouse, I think would have been a better experience overall.
I don't really have anything negative to say about it. I watched it. It wasn't like a great movie.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to go watch it again.
No, it was big, dumb fun.
But yeah, I mean, it was, if you haven't seen it once, it's worth seeing once.
Yeah. Yeah. It just didn't need to be Roadhouse.
It don't really matter. The movie's still okay.
Yeah. It was all right movie. I wasn't sure if I was going to buy Jake Gyllenhaal as a MMA fighter.
Dude, he got toned up, man. He looked pretty
good. He's got the muscle definition and stuff. I mean, they pay trainers really good money to make guys look like that.
Yeah.
He does not look like that when he's not on set, by the way.
Yeah.
But just the whole, like, yeah, he's just not, you know, I don't know. Like, he doesn't, I would not buy him if I were to watch him at a, like, a UFC press conference.
Your money's not going to be on Jake Gyllenhaal?
No, not so much. I don't buy him as a UFC fighter.
Pit Jake Gyllenhaal against Patrick Swayze, who would win? Patrick Swayze in the 80s in his prime, you know.
Right.
Who would win?
He's pretty small.
Neither one. Like,
you got to understand, Patrick Swayze was a pretty small guy.
He was tall, but he wasn't really built. I mean, he had definition, but he wasn't like a big guy. Jake Gyllenhaal has more muscle, but Patrick Swayze has more reach because he is taller. And I don't buy either one of them as an actual, like, I'm going to fight somebody. Like, I'd be like, no, you're not.
I mean, if you're standing like Colin McGregor next to somebody,
right,
when you know that he is a professional MMA fighter, you know in your head, like, that guy can whoop somebody else's ass. Like, you just know by looking at them.
Not so much this other two. And which, then the thing is, you know, Patrick Swayze's character wasn't an MMA fighter. So they could have done it. They could have gone a different route, I mean, with Jake Gyllenhaal's character, and made it more believable if he hadn't been in the MMA. And the fact that they got an MMA fighter in Conor McGregor, and that wasn't connected at all to his character, that he wasn't an MMA guy in the movie. He was just some weird, crazy guy. There were just little choices along the way. It's like, well, you could have done this and made it better. You know, you could have done this and we wouldn't have had to think about it. Oh, yeah, that's part of.
I mean, we could have also cameoed Mike Tyson, like drinking in the corner or something. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Be nice, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just have a sandwich and sit down.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's our take on Roadhouse. Check it out. It's on Prime. If you have an Amazon Prime membership, it's worth watching at least once.
It is.
Absolutely. So let's get to the headlines from the past week. As expected, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire won the weekend box office. That's not the fun story of the weekend box office. The best part is the film Late Night with the Devil. Did you go see this yet, or are you seeing it this next week?
I did see this.
You did see
it. I was waiting until you brought this up.
It earned $666,666 on Sunday, Palm Sunday.
What's that?
Late Night with the Devil. The Sunday before Easter, Late Night with the Devil earns 666666 at the box office.
Do you feel like somebody donated?
I feel like somebody said, "Okay, we're not selling any more tickets. I'll let you in."
I don't believe it.
But I can't let sell.
I can't believe that number.
Yeah,
there's a part of me that doesn't. But
I don't buy it at all.
I think that somebody was like, "Oh, we're so close. I'll give you the $52 you need to get."
Yeah, exactly. And we'll, you know what I mean? We'll call it good. Yeah.
I enjoyed the movie.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It's worth a watch at least once.
Yeah, it'll be on Shudder in less than 3 weeks. Yeah.
So check it out.
Yeah. So this one, it's not fun. So there's nothing to laugh at, but it's kind of whatever. The original Blue's Clues host, Steve Burns.
Yeah.
Who we met, hung out with. He has another video going viral on social media. As he's done in the past, he released a video on social media asking folks how they're doing, and then he just kind of sits there like he's listening. Okay. And then at the end of it, he's like, oh, great, thanks. You know, hey, you look great. Thanks for coming in or whatever. The timing of it is what people are talking about, because every time he does one of these, they go nuts. I think Elmo did one like a couple months ago, and everybody was like dumping all the world's problems on Elmo, and it's like, wow, that's weird. But yeah, Steve's done a couple of these, and they all go, the timing on this one, though, he posted this a day or two after Hulu released their documentary called, what's it called here? Oh, Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, which talks about abuses that took place like at Nickelodeon with all the young actors and the scuzzy executives that was like...
With Dan Schneider?
Yeah, there's some ugly stuff.
Sitting in a hot tub with an underage Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all weird.
Among other things. And, you know, these kids got failed on so many levels. They got failed by Nickelodeon and its executives. They weren't protected by them. They got failed by their parents for being like, do whatever you want with my kid as long as we make money and they're famous. And scuzzy people saying, I'll do whatever I want with them. And yes, you'll make some money and I'll make them famous. Ugly, ugly thing. So, yeah. So Steve, who was also a Nickelodeon, I mean, that's the show that Blue's Clues was on, coming out with a, hey, how you guys doing? How's everybody holding up? On the day or the day after this documentary comes out, that's just absolutely disgusting. It's not a coincidence.
Yeah.
And he knew what he was doing. But, yeah, so it went viral. You can actually check out, we had our Q&A with Steve from the main stage here at Missouri Comic Con. That was on our March 15th episode. So if you go back two episodes, you can sit there and listen to Steve talk about some of those things. He doesn't talk about child abuse, but he does talk about, like, it was work. it was hard work making Blue's Clues. He's like, it's like being in a pool. They didn't have a green screen because he's wearing a green shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a blue screen, but it was like, it was curved. Like I said, it was like in the bottom of a drained out swimming pool. And however many years he did that of just like standing there talking to himself in the bottom of a swimming pool.
Right.
Yeah. I think it messed with his head a little, as it would anybody's. We talked about this a little bit the other day. On the GamesIndustry.biz podcast, the host, Christopher Dring, claimed that he's been hearing growing unease from third-party studios about the viability of Xbox as a brand. Dring says that a very prominent third-party company told him at the Game Developers Conference that Xbox's sales in Europe have flatlined, and that the same company, which is releasing a major game last year, or did release a major game last year, also said they don't know why they bother supporting the Xbox console, because you have to make two versions of your game. You have to make one version for the Series S, and then they have the Series X, which has completely different technical specs. So you have to make a second version of your game just to release one game on Xbox. So he says it doesn't make any sense. They're very frustrated, as are other companies. They're making two different copies of a game just to release it on Xbox, and then they also make a copy for PC, PlayStation, if it's a Switch game as well. So folks are not happy.
Well, according to Phil Spencer,
yeah, well,
he's going to keep making consoles as long as he wants to.
Yeah,
and also there's a talks that Microsoft's buying Steam.
I don't know if it's buying Steam, but getting Steam's going on Xbox somehow.
Right. What it'll be is it'll be Steam will handle the Xbox Game Pass PC stuff.
Xbox Game Pass PC stuff. What do you mean by that?
Like right now, if you want to play a game that's offered through Xbox Game Pass on your PC, you have to do it through its own, like through the Xbox app or through its other, like if it's connected to like Bethesda or Battle.net or some of those other ones. What they're wanting is for Steam to be have like basically its own. If you have Xbox Game Pass and you connect that to your Steam account, you'll get your games through Steam instead of them having to support multiple other platforms, including their own.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what they're looking
for. I haven't read that, but...
Yeah. Which, and again, this is all pointing back to there are third-party studios who are like, we're not going to keep doing this. Xbox is either going to have one console for the next generation or... I feel like that's what they're going to move to anyway. They're saying we're not going to support two consoles from the same company. A lot of folks are saying that back in, I want to say, what, the 90s, when Sega had the Dreamcast that nobody bought because there weren't any games for it, because companies didn't want to make games for a Dreamcast that nobody owned.
We had a Dreamcast.
No, we didn't. We had Sega CD and we had a Genesis.
Jeremy had a Dreamcast.
Well, he may have, but yeah.
Which was in our home.
Yeah,
so.
But nobody... For the most part, nobody owned them. There were no games for them, because companies wouldn't make games for it because of the current generation stuff was not, it was different. It was so different that it wasn't worth the time and effort to make games for that console. And so there are folks in the game industry who were a part of that era who are like, yeah, it's just the same thing coming back around. They believe that because Microsoft has bought up so many game development companies that they would be better off just making games for other platforms.
I mean, I'd be fine with them just making games.
Microsoft, Windows is the PC operating system, so they could make computer games and sell them, and they would sell more PCs. It would, you know, it's not so disconnected that they would never make any money off of it. They could still make games. People would still buy games, and they would still go on the PC. They just wouldn't have an Xbox console going
forward. I sold my Xbox yesterday, so...
yeah.
We're moving out of the Xboxes. Well, some of the girls aren't. But.
I think that they need to make one console, like you said. I mean, it's I had a Series S, and it just doesn't run near as good. Yeah, and it's not totally even worth console. Playing some games. Yeah. Like they're not optimized well enough.
Yeah, it's a completely different console. And so, yeah, folks are not, even if it's an Xbox exclusive, guess what? You got to make two versions of that game.
Yeah,
so.
They're better off just having one console.
Yeah, which jacks up the development cost, but you know what? They can't charge any extra
money.
Maybe
they'll phase out the Series S.
Maybe that's why they're doing a mid-gen refresh or something, so they can phase it out.
Get it all down to one console going forward, maybe. And the last story I've got here. On Tuesday, McDonald's and Krispy Kreme announced a new partnership that would see Krispy Kreme donuts being made available at participating McDonald's locations. The Krispy Kreme at McDonald's release will begin with a staggered rollout later this year, and the partnership is set to go into full effect nationwide by the end of 2026. As part of the deal, Krispy Kreme's three most popular donuts, can you guess what they are?
Glazed.
Glazed is one.
I don't like any of them but glazed.
So. Yeah, me too. Jelly stuffed, I don't know.
So the three most popular are the original glazed donut, chocolate frosted donuts with sprinkles.
And sprinkles makes a difference.
It's got to have the sprinkles. And the chocolate cream filled donut. Those are the three. They said those three will be available at McDonald's. They'll be available individually or as part of a special six pack. Like you get your six pack of McNuggets, you can get your six pack of donuts.
Making fat people fatter.
Yeah.
What year does this come out?
It's going to start out this year, but then it'll be fully implemented by the end of 2026. So it'll take a minute.
Now, not only.
Now, how long is it going to be before your Krispy Kremes are like, they're cutting them in half and making them the buns or something? You know what I mean? They're like, somebody's going to be playing around.
They got a breakfast sandwich that's a Krispy Kreme donut.
I mean, I would try that. Put a chicken sandwich, put a chicken patty in like between some donuts.
I've had a donut burger.
Is it any good?
Donut burger?
Yeah. I don't advise it.
What about
sweet and savory?
Speaking of that, last time I seen you, you went to go get the KFC.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
How was that?
It was awful.
We said that before you went to do it.
Well, I wanted to try it. I wanted to see what was awful about it. And it's the sauce, and it just makes the crispy chicken soggy.
I mean, if it was on like a bun or something and just made a chicken parmesan sandwich,
yeah,
it'd probably be better.
Maybe. I don't know. If they've got a better sauce.
If the sauce had flavor and it went into the bread instead of into the...
Scrape their sauce off, dab you a little Prego on there.
There you go. little ragu.
And they didn't even melt the cheese.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, it wasn't good. It took like a decent piece of chicken and made it worse somehow.
Yeah, just get the chicken sandwich. It's way better.
Yeah. That's how that works. You don't get chicken.
So it's probably not going to make it much longer.
I'm sure they, whatever their limited time was, they're just waiting for that time to be over so they can quit.
What was the creativity behind that?
There was none, apparently.
There was none. Let's buy some pepperonis.
Yeah, exactly.
Aren't they owned by the same corporation that
it's owned
like
by
Taco
Pepsi.
Bell?
Yeah.
So somebody from Taco Bell just came over one day. He's like, hey, you know what you should do?
Taco Bell.
This is an Italian thing. Why are we taking advice from Taco Bell?
So what all do they own? So Taco Bell and KFC is also...
Long John Silver.
And I think Pizza Hut.
And Pizza Hut and Pepsi. Yeah.
Man, that taco pizza
went
really well.
I think Frito-Lay's
maybe that was their idea.
That's what I'm thinking.
They own Pizza Hut also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We get the pepperonis at a discount. Let's throw them on a piece of chicken.
Yeah, and you know, it's all part of the whole Pepsi free. That's why you have the Taco Bell has the Doritos, because they own the same company. So, yeah, it's...
You know,
it's one company.
If you don't roll the dice every once in a while, you never really know what's going to happen.
Well, sometimes you don't need to roll those dice. Sometimes
it's
you got a bad
you
idea.
Can't get
bring
a Coke.
Back the pizza, man. Like the taco pizza. I liked those.
Well, they have the taco pizza at Taco Bell, I believe.
I thought
those
are Mexican pizzas.
Yeah, Mexican pizza. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's why they made the chicken pizza, I feel like, because of the Mexican pizza.
The Mexican pizza is okay. Like, it used to be able to get it for like a dollar.
Well, yeah. And you can't get anything for a dollar now.
It's $20?
I wouldn't be surprised. You get a whole real pizza for $20.
Dude, I can get two larges for
$30. Like a taco pizza, though.
Yeah, we do. We order that a lot at Godfather's.
That's my favorite pizza.
Rogersville is becoming... They have a section of Rogersville that's just food trucks now.
Oh, yeah?
They can just roll into this gravel drive and just choose. You want Japanese food, pizza, coffee. There's another one going in there.
I'm all about that.
Yeah.
There's like a fish
mall
one,
without
I
having
think.
To go to the mall.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I've been watching this show. It's on. I've been watching it on Hulu, but it was a History Channel show. And they've got a lot of fun shows lately. with like, you know, food stuff, like, you know, the food that built America or whatever. Anyway, this was a show with one of their hosts. I forget what it was called, but basically that he's finding either people that have food that was only made in the 80s and then like discontinued, and he's going to like one of the episodes was like Domino's had like a breakfast pizza in the 80s. So he goes to the first place, the guy that developed it, and like they remake it for like the first time in 40 years or whatever. Or he finds people that have like a collection of like fast food or junk food candy collection.
Good Mythical
from the
Morning, 80s. That guy that recreates all those sandwiches.
What's that?
Their chef on Good Mythical Morning, that show. He makes all those old sandwiches.
Yeah, yeah, like, I've seen some of those
from
yeah.
scratch.
Well, like, this is actually going to the people who developed them.
Or I think he uses the original ingredient. Like
he probably does. Probably yeah. the original recipe.
And he's really good at
the,
it.
The guy that made the original Big League Chew bubblegum.
Oh, yeah.
And like they went to the kitchen, of the like some old lady's kitchen. And they're like, this is where we made the first batch. So she's still, so they're recreating it. She's over there telling him exactly how to do it again and stuff. He's like, I did this the first time. I know.
What's this show called?
I forget what it's called. I think it's called something. I want to say it's Adam Eats the 80s. But I don't know that that's right.
It sounds pretty interesting. Just like turn on and watch her.
Yeah,
there,
just, so. It's one of those things you can just turn on and be like, oh, that's cool. Oh, I remember that. You won't remember any of it.
It's like
Dusty
my,
and I will watch it and remember it.
It's like my 6 year
where
online.
My mind went when you said that.
Yeah. Not the 80-year-olds.
There was a, there was a similar show where this chef guy went around and just hung out with celebrities all day, and they went and just ate random places.
Oh, that was Anthony Bourdain.
No. This was because it had like Seth Rogen, where they were just stoned all the time. Him and some other chef guy just got ripped. The entire episode of that, because they were going to eat at all these places. Like, they'd go to a celebrity's hometown.
Right.
And, like, just go eat at all these places over the course of, like, 3 days. And they went the episode that had Seth in it, they were just
Rogan. Okay, yeah,
they were just stoned the entire time they were in.
Again, this sounds just
I think
like
we
the
were in Chicago or stuff. Something I feel like, but it's anyway, the guy just goes to these celebrity towns and goes around and be like, hey, where's all the cool places to eat at?
Right.
And they go eat at all these places. The guy that's hosting the show is a chef himself or has a restaurant or something like that, but it's a pretty funny ass show because it's not serious at all. Like, they'll shit talk the sandwiches and all that, like that.
Is he on that Pineapple Express?
I don't know what he's on. He's always on something, though. Mm-hmm. He smokes more weed than Snoop Dogg, I think.
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg, didn't he quit?
No,
that was a joke.
That was a rumor.
For a promotion.
That was he got paid to say that by a grill.
Now, he may outside not smoke grill, more weed than Willie Nelson. I mean, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, Willie likes to smoke it up.
Oh,
I think Martha Stewart's into it now, too, after her and Snoop got together.
I don't think she's
together.
Not been into it. I'm pretty sure that she
I don't know that she was before, because she seemed pretty tight, high-strung.
Well, you know, prison changes the person.
Yeah, until prison, and then she's, like, a lot more laid back now. Now that she's with Snoop and smoking it up and just relaxing.
Are they dating?
No.
Do you think they
bump nasties?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Of course they have.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone has.
Yeah. Who, Martha?
Just
everybody.
Yeah.
Did you and Snoop? Martha.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Just assuming it's real.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
Well, send us your questions, comments, suggestions, the food and drinks you think we ought to try next that's not a pizza, chicken thing, whatever. Each and every week, if we use your comments or your suggestions, we'll give you a shout-out in an upcoming episode. Hit us up on Facebook or Instagram. Just search for and follow us at PGTC Podcast. Post your comments there. Or call or text us on the hotline at 417-986-7842. Leave a message or a text with your comments. We will listen to them. We may play them on an upcoming episode, or we may read your text on an upcoming episode. Again, that hotline's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Nobody's going to answer it. You just call and leave a message, or you send a text to it. Coming up after a short commercial break, we have some audio from Missouri Comic Con again with veteran voice actor Billy West. You know him from a ton of stuff. Probably right now most famous for Futurama, but he's also been the voice of anything and everything you can think of.
Oh, Billy.
You'll want to stick around for that. He's a lot of fun. Otherwise, I think that's going to do it for this week. Anybody got anything else before we get out of here?
We got Blue Room shout-outs.
Blue Room? What do you got coming up with the Blue Room?
Yeah, Recharger, what do you got?
I don't got nothing. What you got?
What you got, yeah. Curtis? You got something.
I got Keenan Ivory Wayans coming to the Blue Room.
Yeah.
That'd be all right.
Duncan Trussell's here this weekend, and from the looks of it, they're pretty sold out. So I
get your tickets now.
Try to get your tickets now. I hope there's some available.
That's right. Yeah. It's Easter weekend. You guys got a favorite Easter candy before?
So
we
don't.
Here?
The kids have all grown up now,
right,
so yeah. We don't do Easter anymore.
No, but
we used to like buy like $100 worth of candy. I felt like, whew. Like, well, between five,
it's $20 a candy. Yeah. That's a lot of candy.
I mean, you can get the pre-made baskets and not have to right. do any work, but it's more expensive. But.
Yeah. Now you just get the peanut butter eggs, the Reese's eggs.
The Reese's. That's all I'm all about.
The eggs yeah. are the, even like the, my mom would get us the big rabbit. That was a Reese's rabbit.
You always just bite the ears off, put it in the freezer. Yeah. You could never eat the whole thing all
no,
at once.
No, you'd make yourself sick if you tried to eat the whole thing. Yeah, I'm all about the Reese's eggs. That's
what if
all.
We put
yeah.
a chocolate Easter bunny that was oh. just filled with the peanut butter from the Reese's?
Well, that's what he's saying.
Like, no, I'm those? Talking about the whole hollow one. Yeah. And we just make
that's,
it.
That's what he's saying.
Oh, just make it?
Yeah.
Oh, yourself?
Like, yeah. the whole tall rabbit that's chocolate doesn't exist in the like a Reese's form.
Oh, the whole form.
Yeah,
yeah it's
yeah,
just
like
a half.
A rabbit
yeah,
that's
yeah,
no, like
yeah.
12 inches tall. And if you, it's hollowed out, and you just fill it full of the
well,
Reese's
see, that's the thing
butter.
Is, every
real
once
rabbit.
In a while, like, you don't know what
a
you're
real
getting.
Rabbit, yeah.
You don't know what you're getting with those rabbits, because sometimes you'll get a rabbit, and you'll bite them off, and they're, like, hollow. And you're like, okay, cool, it's like a thin shell of chocolate. I can eat on this.
Yeah.
And then there's some, you, like, bite the ears off, and, like, this thing is solid chocolate.
Yeah, like a Hershey.
Yeah.
I can't eat this. This sucks. I can
there's
eat about
no
three.
Quality control.
Yeah, I can eat a little bit and be like, and it's not, and it's never good chocolate, right? Those chocolate rabbits are, like, the worst, cheapest, nastiest chocolate they can find.
Yeah, the milk came from that they
it's
put in
powdered
there.
Milk.
Yeah, yeah exactly. Yeah. Mix it up with some water; they'll never know.
And you always just busted it up anyway, like, and then just eat pieces of it.
Apparently, in Britain, if they were to come to America and eat our chocolate, they say it tastes like vomit. Because
I
of the
I
way
believe
it's made.
That.
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah. It's not good.
It does taste like vomit.
Especially
I've never even had their
ones.
Chocolate.
Some real chocolatey chocolate.
Let's get some know? Chocolate and try it.
I used to get Mad magazines for Easter. Mad and Cracked magazines.
Really?
My mom would put those in her baskets.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
To get we
got,
Easter.
It's funny. We got Playboys.
What?
Well, there you go. That's the right kind of bunny.
That's right.
There you go. Well, if you've enjoyed this or any episode of the Pop Goes the Culture podcast, please take a moment, leave a review on your preferred podcast player. It doesn't cost you a thing, and it is one of the better ways you can show your support for the show. You know what else I'll eat? I'll eat a Starburst jelly bean.
Yeah, I've had quite... Actually, Jessica has an addiction to Starburst jelly beans.
Starburst jelly beans, too. I'll go with that
She
also.
Had to cut back on them. Yeah. It was a problem.
They're good. Well, thanks again to everybody for being here and to everybody listening to the podcast whenever and wherever you're able to catch us. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you right back here next week for another brand new episode of the Pop Goes the Culture podcast. Until then, be safe, be healthy, and be happy. Next week's episode is going to be a different one. We're going to be on the road to Georgia Comic Con.
I think we're going
to
be on the air.
We're going to be in the air to Georgia Comic Con yeah. when we would normally... Now, we'll be on the road when we would normally be recording because we'll have landed because our flight's way early in the morning.
You guys just pull out the TV trays and you're on the back of the seat.
And just sleep on them?
put the recording...
yeah, record it on the airport. Nah, I don't think we're going to do that. But yeah, so we'll have to record it probably earlier in the week. It'll be a little bit different. It'll probably be a little shorter, our piece of it, but we'll bring in another guest from another convention. I will... make you come back next week to find out who that is.
All right.
Until then, be safe, be healthy, and be happy. We'll see you guys later.
See ya.
Stay frosty.
See ya.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hello, friends. My name is Jason A. Meiske. I'm a thriller author and the host of the Sample Chapter Podcast. I'd like to invite you to join me each week as I introduce you to authors from all over the world. Together we have a nice little chat before the guest author reads a sample chapter from one of their books. There's been sci-fi, westerns, romance, horror, thrillers, and even the weird. There's names you don't know, and for sure, several that you do. And with over 100 episodes so far, you're sure to find a new favorite book. So come on over and join us. Every Tuesday on the Sample Chapter Podcast.
You only find those eyes at Pizza Hut.
And are made in a special pan pizza.
Where else can you get those bones?
In our mozzarella cheese and golden crust.
And those moons. In our great pan pizza.
Pizza Hut pan pizza. You just can't get a pan full of aisles anyplace else.
At your hometown Pizza Hut.
Made, baked, and served in a pan.
How'd all these people get in my room?
I know.
Hey, how's the fentanyl around here? Any good?
Oh, wow.
No? No? I should keep away from it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good. Thanks.
We're more of
Thanks.
A meth
You're
town.
All my friends yeah. now.
We're more of a meth town here.
What's that?
We're more of a meth town here.
Oh, you're more?
Yeah.
Yikes.
So this is a Q&A, which means you guys get to ask questions, and Billy has answers, and if he doesn't have an answer, he'll just make something up on the fly.
Yes.
So this microphone is there for you guys. You will not offend anybody if you get up and move around. That's actually your job for the next 30 to 40 minutes, is to get up, come over to the microphone, ask your question. We'll get through as many as we can in the short time that we have together. If we don't get through all of them, it's my fault. I'm the one that's here to keep us
running. Are you in that much of a hurry? You have to leave?
Dude, you don't understand. Have you seen the line out here?
Oh, God. No.
Let me tell you about it. So come on up, and then once we're wrapped up here, the party will continue back across the street and at Billy's table over there. That's where you'll handle the autographs and all that.
Billy, first of all, man, big fan, and thank you for being out here, dude.
Oh, thank you very much.
Big, big fan. I love the Ren and Stimpy and Doug shows, man. Those were my favorites of you.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
It was one of my, growing up in my childhood memories, man, I couldn't stop watching Ren and Stimpy.
You look like you grew up fine to me.
Oh, man. Oh, thanks to you, Billy.
Joy.
No. Oh,
shut up, you fool. Yes, I shall kill you. Oh, and Doug, I thought about this. They're like 30 years older now.
Yeah.
So you know how you always, when you're growing up, you see like the good kid, you know he's going to grow up to be like, you know, a pillar of the community. And the bad kid's going to be either dead or in jail or a cop.
Right.
You know.
Either or. Either
I
side
don't know.
Of the
bars. That's no disrespect, please. But they're older now, so you think one's going to turn out a certain way. And I was thinking, you know, dear journal, today I blew up a courthouse.
Yeah.
See him in the courtroom, and it's Judge Roger Klotz. Order in the court! Order! Order! Oh, look who it is. It's you, Funny. You loser! I knew I was going to see you in here one day. You're going to jail, Funny. You're going to jail for 1,000 years in jail. That's right, Funny. You're going to be somebody's bitch in jail. Oh, no. How did this happen? I was a good kid. I don't know what happened. I blew up a courthouse. One courthouse. You're gone.
That's great, man. I guess that was my biggest question is, you know, watching Doug and watching Skeeter. Skeeter, I just loved him being the heel
character. Just ruined your childhood.
It was great, man.
What do you think about that?
It was great, man.
Or so made it a lot awesomer.
You just made my childhood even better.
Aww.
So I guess to make it even better, I guess my biggest question was, how did it feel just, you know, playing Skeeter and playing that character? And
well, I didn't play Skeeter. That was Fred Newman.
Oh, that's right, Fred Newman.
Yeah, Fred makes the sounds and mouth sounds and noises and Skeeter had this horn sound that he used to make. And
I'm sorry, not Skeeter. Roger is what I meant. Roger.
Oh, Roger. Well, he was based on an actual antagonist that I had when I was in school.
Yeah.
I was targeted, man, you know? I mean, they didn't have a word for it, but I was on the autism spectrum.
Yeah.
And I had ADD and ADHD and all the other initials, you know, FBI, CIA. No, But I really did, and I couldn't get my mind around anything. I couldn't tie my own shoes. I couldn't tie a necktie. I still can't.
Right.
You could show me 1,000 times, and I still can't get my mind around. But ask me to do a fucking Fran Drescher impression. That's autism. Young people are crazy. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. But, no, but I mean, I was targeted, you know. Some guy sees a wounded animal and he's gonna come over and say, you know, and his hair was pointy and his nose was pointy and his chin was pointy, his shoes were pointy, and he did die.
Yeah.
I happen to know that. You know how you can find out about anybody from the past now? So the petty little part of me goes back and goes, yep, I knew it. Dead.
Well, thank you for your time,
like
Billy,
he had
man.
Coming.
I just appreciate your time.
Oh,
and
thank
what you,
you
did.
So much.
Thank
for
you
kind
for running
words.
Stimpy and Doug, man.
Thank you.
Good job, bro.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
forgot what I was going to say. So Futurama is one of my favorite shows of all time, and I actually have the complete box set that I want you to sign afterwards.
Okay. Well, I'll be at the table.
Well, I know.
In another city.
So I'll meet you there.
But I don't know how far I traveled to just come to this room, but I'm glad. I'm glad you're here, though. Please.
So my question's pretty simple. How was the audition process for Futurama, and were you expecting to play the characters you did on the show?
Let's see. I knew I was going into audition for a particular couple of characters. One was Dr. Zoidberg, and one was the professor. Right. And when I walked into that room, there was this many people auditioning. And I was like, and then I see Ryan Stiles from Whose Line Is It Anyway? I go, he's going to mop the floor with this audition. I'm getting the hell out of here right now. You know, I was like, oh, Christ. And I saw all this one and that one. Big actors, famous people.
Right.
And I said, you better think long and hard before you open your mouth today. You know, you better hit all the buzzers and bells. luckily, I did. Zoidberg was based on a couple of different actors. One was Lou Jacoby from, he was from Yiddish Theater. He was in the movie Arthur. He leaned in and went, what's it like to have all that money? And then there was a guy named George Jessel who was in vaudeville, which was before television was invented. People used to go to the theater and you could watch 12 acts in repetition all day into the evening if you had nothing to do. Jugglers and dancers. And this one guy would be the host, the master of ceremonies. He would go, you know the definition of a smartass? A fellow that can sit on an ice cream cone and tell you what flavor it is. For some reason, they thought that was funny in those days. but that's where that came from, is like, you know, you need an autograph? Why not Zoidberg? No. They don't care about Zoidberg. They only care about the stupid fry or the robot. And then the professor was like, he's just a bag of bones. They said he was 147 years old. And I said, well, he must fart dust, you know, like a mummy or something.
Right. Awesome. Thanks, Billy.
Was that me?
Hey, Billy.
Yes?
I met you in Oklahoma City last year.
Heard of it?
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you again on Futurama. You got a new season.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks to you guys.
Let's give him some credit.
Seriously.
Come on.
You guys brought the show back from its death. It's a zombie, that show.
Yeah.
It's come back so many.
As you know, there are some very popular memes that have come from that you voice. My question is, how did you first discover that you were a meme, and how did you react when you discovered that you were a meme?
I knew what memes were before anybody did, because there was a book that came out, the writer had no idea what was going to happen to the world because of the internet, and that's what promulgated and proliferated memes. You know, they were like brain worms. You know, they were like stuff that gets stuck in your head. You know, like a song. You know, you'd be driving to work and you hear a song on the radio, and then time to go to work and you shut off the radio and the song is still playing over and over in your head. Yeah. Those are like memes. And shut up and take my money was the meme that I recall. But there is one that was never a meme that I don't think it is, but I thought it was funny because I was reading the script and somebody said, hey, Fry, I heard beer makes you stupid. And he goes, no, I doesn't. and I looked at the director, David, and I went, no, I doesn't, David? What, you know, he goes, please read it as written. Okay, all right. You know, I'll be back for the $900 fix-it fee. And then I saw it on television, and I didn't get it, but I was like, ah! You know, because Fry doesn't know what he's saying, and I truly didn't know what I was saying. So it was the best acting I ever did in my life. It rings so true.
Yeah. My favorite meme that you did is Professor Farnsworth saying, I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
That's my favorite one, because I say it every day when I watch the news. I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Thanks, Billy.
Thank you. There are people that are so stupid, they don't know they're stupid. Eat like Fry.
Hi.
Hey there.
Hi.
My name's Christian.
Hi.
Let's see. I was wondering, what was that again? Oh, yeah, it was the M&Ms. What was it like to play off of J.K. Simmons when you were the red one and he's the yellow one and some of those commercials. Oh, what was that like?
Well, years ago, I'm talking like 30-something years ago, I was married and I came home from being on the road and my wife was watching this show called Oz. It was on HBO. It was a hardcore prison show. And the actors in it, you know, were like unbelievable. They were so good. And HBO was on a roll when they came out. And I came home and my wife said, have you seen this show, Oz? And I go, no, I haven't. She said, sit down. She goes, watch this, watch this. Now look at this guy right here, this guy. I'm looking at him and she goes, he is no actor. This guy's the real deal. He's like, he's the psycho. He's a, dark, evil, rotten MF. And I went, what? I said, I know him. She said, you do? I said, yeah, he's the yellow M&M. And she went, what? And I said, yeah, I work with him. His name is J.K. Simmons. And he was new. You know, nobody knew who he was, really, except I did. Because I the minute I worked with him, I knew he was a national treasure. Believe me, you can just tell. There's a light around some people. You know, and he does everything. I mean, he won an Oscar for Whiplash, and 2 days later, he's in the studio with me doing M&Ms. You know, I mean, that's a journeyman. Mm. Oh, and he does the Notre Dame Cathedral Fire. Seen it? Covered it. You know, that's him.
Yeah.
He's in everything.
Yeah, he was even the warden on Megamind, actually.
He's what?
He's the warden on Megamind. It's a really cool movie.
Oh, right.
It was one of the best that DreamWorks had made, one of the best superhero movies.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, it was good. Who did that?
J.K. Simmons was...
No, who did the voice of Megamind? Was somebody that
That was Will Ferrell, actually.
Oh, that? Okay. I've worked with Will. Hmm. Yeah, he's really funny and cool. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
What is your name?
My name is Marlena. And
what is
I
your
just want to say, Billy, thank you.
Thank you.
Your work on Futurama has been a life changer for me. One of my favorite episodes is A Devil's Hands Are an Idle Thing to Play With.
That's my favorite one.
I was just about to ask, out of all the episodes you've done, which one is your favorite
that
one?
That is. Because we get to do an operetta.
Yes!
And Katie, you know, was singing. And she's a real singer. The rest of us are, like birds, you know. But it was just so much fun. And Ken Keeler, one of the writers wrote that operetta, and he's a musician, but he doesn't like music. Oh. I don't get it. I think he's lying to me. I think he's pulling my chain a little.
He's got to be, because like I said, it's my favorite
episode. I said, it's brilliant, Ken. He goes, And I said, well, don't tell me, you know, you're one of these guys that just values math and that music is just a byproduct of math. Basically, I'm like, oh man! But I found out that he truly does love music because I told him about how I was a musician, and I got to play with one of my idols, Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys, and he went, really, and that stopped him dead. So we got into a good discussion after that. But
yeah, that is.
It's tough to crack a scientist open and make him be human,
right?
You know.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, Billy.
Hi.
Mike. So one thing which has impressed me most about you is your range.
Thanks.
The types of characters you do, the intonations, just everything about it. On one of the sit-downs for Futurama, you said that you were talking about different auditions and that you've morphed your face, you've pulled your cheeks, your throat. And I think one of you mentioned that, like, you've gotten some flack for it on occasion. But what I'm most curious about is, what's your favorite character that you've done or favorite voice that you've morphed your face for or done something to make yourself sound non-traditional?
I think many, many years ago, like 33 years ago or something, I was doing the voice of the Honey Nut Cheerios bee. And, and he had a high-pitched, genderless, cloying, annoying voice, which is what they wanted. But I thought I'd throw in something so he would say the word irresistible, and I can't resist taking a word and mangling it somehow so that you throw a hook on it, so people will go, gee, I wonder what that guy's doing. You know, I mean, maybe they used a machine to F up his voice or whatever. And he was like, Honey Nut Cheerios, it's irresistible. You know, and that's what I did that. But I didn't do that for too much stuff. Occasionally, I'll do it for like, you know, if I was doing a B or something, you know.
Well, thank you for all your work. Your range is amazing. Futurama is by far what I grew up with. So,
oh, thanks you. Again, you look like you grew up really well. So,
I tried my best.
All right. Hi. Hello. Pull that
down.
You
can pull
yourself.
It down to you. Yeah. Go ahead and pull it down to you.
Just let me tilt it down.
Let me help you. All right. There you go. Thank you.
Help this lady.
Look how helpful they are.
Yeah. Thank you. Good for you.
Hello. What's your name?
Hi.
My name is Alex.
Hi.
And who was your favorite character to play?
I wish I could tell you, but I put 1,000% into everything I ever did, honestly. I mean, I wanted them to last forever. I didn't come in there like saying, I'll just polish this off, you know, and then I'll be on to the next thing. I had a deep love of language and characters, and I honored the writers. You know, that was first and foremost in my mind. So all the characters that I've been lucky enough, you know, that were handed to me from writers and creators, I was grateful, and I valued every single one of them, so I never really had a favorite, especially Futurama. They're all just beautiful in so many ways. I mean, you know, even Zap Brannigan, who's, like, deliciously stupid, you know, Kiff, inform the men, I made it with a woman. You know, to me, that's just as much fun as, you know, doing Nixon. You know what I mean? It's like they're all so great, and I wanted to bring something to the table. I wanted to really like take those characters and bring them somewhere. Otherwise, they just lie there and die in a ditch if you don't do something special somehow with them. You want them to be like people you could know. And not just some silly cartoon. It's like in real life you could know somebody like Fry, or in real life you could know somebody like Zoidberg, or, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good question, Alex. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Hi. Yeah, go ahead. Just pull up. There you go.
Hello, Mr. West.
Hi.
I think I can speak for all of us when we say thank you for voicing and putting the life of to a lot of the characters
my pleasure.
Grow fond of.
My absolute pleasure, believe me.
I wanted to hear about, because I've never read about it, your first gig and how you've ever landed it.
Oh, wow. Let's see. Well, when I got out of high school, I had already been playing music. So I was a musician and played guitar and I sang and everything, and I was in bands. That's how I spent my 20s, really, and a bunch of doofy jobs, you know, like, because I didn't know how to do anything. I didn't go to college, you know. I barely get out of high school. I hated school. I hated it with a passion. Even when I was a little kid, it used to make me physically ill, the thought of going to school. And I thought, there's something wrong with me, you know. I mean, I used to get, like, gaggy thinking about doing math and English again, because it was the autism thing that was throwing me for a loop, and everything was upside down backwards to me. It was a real struggle, and my dad just thought I was stupid. But you don't know what's going on up there, you know, in the mind of somebody like that. And I'm not talking to complete strangers that don't understand. I would think that most people are on the spectrum. And I think it's the next phase in human evolution. I don't know how I got on that, but but I really do. I mean, it's like nature is not going to look the other way when we're so doomed as people. It's going to make an intervention, and I think that's what autism is. I think it's, you know, because they're compassionate and they're empaths, and there's no toxic masculinity and no misogyny. There's never any trouble at these shows. Oh, what a world this would be. You know?
Just the world of giant Comic-Con, yes.
Yes, and but hopefully in 150, 200 years that nature will take care of all those things. But you were asking me about the first gig. So I was on my way to getting out of high school, and I joined bands and I played and sang and everything. And then I get in, they took away my spandex license in 1978. And so I got into stand-up comedy, and that didn't last too long, but I got into radio, luckily. And it was in Boston, and I had to write my own bits, and I would come in the morning and it would be a blank piece of paper. And somebody told me that's God's way of telling you how hard his job was, you know. Where do you start? So I would write, and I would voice my own stuff, and I actually worked with old tape machines at the radio station. They didn't have digital anything in those days, you know. But then when I moved from Boston to New York, and I started working with Howard Stern. And what's Billy talking about, Robin? You know. And that lasted for a while. But during that time, I was auditioning. And just before that, I got a job doing a cartoon called Beanie and Cecil. It was a redo of an old 60s cartoon. And it lasted about 6 or 7 episodes because John Chris Felucci was animating it, and that's his calling card. 6 episodes and then blow off his own foot, you know. But that was the first one, the first cartoon I actually did. And Beanie was a little boy, adventurous, and he was on a boat called the Leakin' Lena with his uncle, Captain Huff and Puff. And Cecil was a seasick sea serpent, 10 feet tall, lovable, gullible, armless, harmless, 10 feet tall and wet, you know. And he was lovable, really. And it was really nice to start out like that. And that's where I met Maurice LaMarche, the voice guy. You know him, Pinky the Brain.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You didn't think you were going to be standing there this long.
Oh, no.
The bathroom is over there, in case you were wondering.
And I'm not sure if it's still being worked on, but that new Ren and Stimpy project, I look forward to it.
Thanks. They haven't announced it, but I was screaming and yelling like I did 32 years ago. And I said, you better keep a paramedic in the lobby. No, seriously, I'm 72. I was a young guy then.
Did you have
anything?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I was mostly emotional support for him. But
yes?
I also just...
It's funny because I'm Billy's emotional support up here.
Yeah. Should you wear a harness that says, please don't pet me, I'm working?
Have you seen... All right, so hold on.
Uh-oh. Ma! Biting, what does it say? Biting the stage manager is strictly prohibited.
You know, you have to pay extra for that, guys. I'm sorry. Go ahead. What was your question?
I didn't really have a question. I just wanted to say I really appreciate you talking about like your experiences with autism and ADHD. I'm sure I'm not the only one that... appreciates you talking about it, because it, especially in a positive light, because it means a lot to us that also have autism and ADHD.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I just never realized that. I used to sit in my room and scream in my head, why is everything so goddamn hard, you know? And you don't know that I was this little boy that had all these superpowers. I didn't even know that, you know? So I look at everybody and I go, there's stuff going on. You know, like there'll be a really shy little kid that's nonverbal, and his dad will say, go over and say hi to Billy, and he'll come over and he'll,
hi, how you doing?
And the dad will say, he's a math genius. And I say, why am I not surprised, you know? Seriously. And I see that all the time. Not just math, but I mean, like, you know, all kinds of stuff, all the stuff it entails, all those storage rooms that are filled with gifts that are very hard to get into, but once you do, you know, it gives me hope for the future, you know, really.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
All right.
I know I've heard a lot about your work in the 90s, and of course, I think a lot of that has to do with the renaissance Disney did for the movies. Were you ever approached by Disney to do some voice work for them in those movies?
In those movies?
Like, I'm trying to think of a couple, like Lion King.
No, because they got this idea in their head that since animated movies were becoming so popular and making so much money, that we got to stop using voice people and start using stars and celebrities. You know, because we're not going to give up our precious star system because they can't be in animated movies. So, okay, get this one and that one. And it bummed me out because there were all these talented voice people that would never get a chance to do anything like that. All you have to do is have an Emmy, and then you can be a cartoon voice person. And it didn't make sense to me. They used to come to people like me and Jimmy Cummings and Maurice LaMarche and Tress MacNeille, you know, and they would say, come for an audition, and they would say, listen, we got this bar of lead on the table, you know, and we'd like you to turn it to gold before you leave. Do you think you could do that? And we're like, yeah. You know, okay, no problem. When celebrities come in, they just walk by the table and goes, where's my $20 million, you know, and they do the voice that they were given, and... You know, it's like Cameron Diaz, the many voice of Cameron Diaz. You know, but they paid her like $20 million to do whatever it was she did. You know, I mean, that stuff blows. It's like anti-art. You know, it's like AI. It's like they're always looking for a way to stomp on talent and can kill them and discredit and fade them, you know. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. What was that? I was bitching and moaning about something.
I think you covered it.
Did I cover Disney? Yeah. I have worked for Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did the 7D, which was a kid's cartoon. And I got to play, who did I play? Bashful, I think. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, it was fun.
If Futurama in the future, if they ever got a crossover, you know, I noticed the show does a lot of references to a lot of good pop culture media. If the show ever did a crossover with a franchise that's not Disney and not Simpsons, not Disenchanted, what would that franchise be? It could be like any cartoon franchise.
God, I don't know. I don't know if I know enough about some of the other shows.
What about Animaniacs?
That would be fun. I mean, I was aware of that, of course, because my friends Rob Paulson and Maurice LaMarche, both brilliant actors, and you know, I mean, these are people I'm honored to know, but I'm honored to work with them as well, hold them in such high esteem. You know, it's like a lot of people, the feeling of going to work in the morning and open up the door and walk into a room full of genius level performers is like, I better be on my toes today, you know. The same tide raises all boats, you know. You don't get resentful or jealous of anybody. You're just like you're a fan of what they're able to do, and you're going, yeah, go get them, you know. Keep the bar off the ground, and then a celebrity comes in, and the bar hits the ground again. You know,
yeah, Chris Pratt.
What?
What?
You know, I hate to say it, but he does. You're talking about Chris Pine?
Chris Pratt.
Oh, Chris Pratt.
You know, the guy who just does his voice for every character he's ever.
Yeah, isn't he wonderful?
Mm.
Isn't he marvelous?
Thank you. Good questions. Thank you.
Yeah. Lord has his finger right on that guy's forehead.
Because, yeah, we got a long line.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
thank
thanks.
You.
Hey, thank you. Thanks. I hope I said something worth something.
Has there ever been a serious consideration of, like, we should put together a band of just voice actors? Because there's so many that have so much musical talent.
We have. A lot of us have played together.
Have you?
Jim Cummings is a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie Rist, I don't know if you know him. He's... Yeah, you know him. He's a guitar player and a singer. Super talented. Robbie Paulson's a singer. He was a lead singer in a group. And he's from Michigan. I'm from Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, I never met him then, but he was from Flint. And he went from being like in a band and other bands. And then he was a used car salesman. And then he moved to Hollywood and he became a big voiceover star. And so, you know, I finally met him and got to work with him. But, yeah, we've played together. Yeah. And it's pretty funny. I mean, Debbie Derryberry's a singer and a songwriter. God, yeah, it's sort of a theme, you know.
Yeah.
Hi.
What's your name?
Hi, Hi, my name is Jessica, and I don't really have a question. I more so have, like, a statement and a fun fact for you.
Okay.
So, like, I appreciate you as Zoidberg and the professor, but I've loved you since Doug. You've been part of my childhood and my adulthood.
Thanks.
The ping, ping, ping to a different subject you keep doing and wondering why. It's an ADHD trait called dolphining. You're trying to find your porpoise. You know?
You're trying to find what?
Different little subjects trying lead to find another porpoise. Subject in your brain.
A porpoise?
Yeah. Yeah.
I found my porpoise.
Yeah. Oh, and then
I found my porpoise.
And then I had a request.
That's your navel.
I always said that if I were to come up here and ask you a question, I would ask you to say good news, everyone, and then do Zoidberg's, like, little scuttle.
Good news, everyone. Bad news. Oh, boy.
Thank you. You made my day.
I can scuttle, too.
We have time for just a couple more questions, so we'll get through what we can here. So go ahead. What's your name?
Hello. I'm Shannon. Long-time, long-time listener, first-time caller. Nice to be here. first off, I'm a Zennial. I was born 1979, so you have done so much for me through my childhood, through my teen years, and even like 2 o'clock in the morning, I find myself watching Futurama.
Oh, my gosh.
So seriously,
you go to sleep
you.
To it. There's a whole community of people
sleep
that
like
sleep
that?
With their significant other and fall asleep watching Futurama because it's a comfort show. Is that what I'm told?
It's, it's a comfort show, and you know, for my husband and I, it's something that we just really enjoy. We kind of bonded over our love of television, and that was part of it.
Yeah, I'm glad it's working out.
So I want to say thank you for that, for being such a big part of my life. And my question for you comes from one of my favorite lines from Futurama. Billy West, what kind of stupid name is that?
That was my joke.
I loved it. I thought it was brilliant.
No, no. How it came about is we have table reads for the episodes, and there's a big oval table, you know, and there's the producers and Matt Groening, the directors, David X. Cohen. There's the artists, the animators, the writers. And then there's performers, and they put little name cards, you know, so we know where to sit. You know, you come in with your coffee and your donut and sit down, and I pick it up and I go. And the writers were sitting right there, and I looked at my card and it said, I said, Billy West, what kind of a fake, phony, made-up name is that? You know, and they were sitting right there, and they put it in an episode. That's,
I think it's brilliant. I was sitting with my husband.
The way they did it was brilliant. Me saying that was not so brilliant. It was just wise-assy.
Well, I was sitting with my husband. I poked him, and I was like, he's like, what are you poking me for? I said, do you get it? He said, no. I said, that's Billy West. I said, he does the voice. That's why it's so freaking funny.
You know what this is going to mean in 200 years?
Still my favorite thing, so thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm glad I have a stupid, phony, made-up name.
Thank you.
That's so nice of you.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Claire.
Hi, Claire.
And I just want to say thank you for being here. I appreciate that you voiced Ren and Stimpy. I'm a huge fan of the show.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like when I first realized you were going to be here, the first thing I thought was, oh, joy. I was so excited. And this is, my question is, it's like a two questions in one. What do you think about John Chris Volusi now? Because probably like the last time you guys ever interacted was probably when he was going to produce an old party cartoon. Like, what do you think about him now?
I turned it down because I knew what they were going to do.
Yeah.
I just knew what they were going to do. They had no oversight. They weren't going to have to answer to anybody. They were going to run wild. And I said, man, you know what? It's like they were acting like, you know, oh, we know how to put the arms on the Venus de Milo now. What are we waiting for? You know, why? You know, it's like you can destroy yourself with all kinds of freedom. You know, believe it or not, artists have to have constrictions to rail against but not betray their work, and more cleverness comes of it as a result, I think. And but I mean, I don't know. I never really liked him. I had no idea how you know, dissolute he was.
Yeah, and I heard what he did to the staff and stuff. And
well, I mean, there was a couple of women. They were very underage, and it's like a subject that, you know.
But I heard about that.
I had no idea what was going on. And this happened like way after we were long gone, the show, mm-hmm. you know, we weren't even doing it anymore. And then I was reading about all this stuff and I said, but you know what? Mm-hmm. It's one of those women became an animator.
Yeah.
And she's an artist, and
I've heard about her.
And she,
I've seen her art, and I'm in love.
She's working on Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, I've heard about that. At first, I didn't believe it. I'm just like, would she even? Because I didn't really think so. And also, my other question is, who was your favorite character to voice in Ren and Stimpy?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I liked anything that I was given for an assignment. Believe me, I'm a person that comes from a lot of gratitude, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for whatever it is that I'm able to do or given. And but there were things, they were throwing stuff at me left and right, and I was new. And they said, we want you to do this screeching announcer, you know, for Space Madness. And I was like, oh, man. And I blew my brains out, you know, screaming and yelling. Oh, how long can Cadet Stimpy hold out? You know, and he was like, you had to scrape him off the ceiling, you know. He was bouncing his ass off Stimpy's head, and he's like, the shiny button, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, woo, you know, this is what this world is about.
Whenever
okay.
someone would mention about a button, I would just go, the jolly candy-like button.
Candy-like button.
Yeah. I just want to say thank you so much.
Oh, thank
for
you.
Here.
I'm glad.
I appreciate that you voice Ren and Stimpy.
Oh,
and
I'm glad you liked it. Thank you.
And I also got some Ren and Stimpy Funko Pops that I'm hoping to get signed from you afterwards.
Okay.
Absolutely. In fact, that's a great segue. The party does continue across the
table.
Street. I do have to wrap this up. That's what I'm the one that has to keep us on time. I'm the one that has to keep things moving. So I do appreciate everybody being here. I'm sorry I didn't get through the rest of the crowd.
Yeah, sorry, you guys.
But you guys can go see Billy at his table.
But I'll be here all day today, and I'll be here tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
That's all, folks.
This show has been brought to you by the Pop Goes the Culture Podcast Network. Find links to all of our podcasts and more at popgoestheculture.com.
Pop Goes the Culture is a VX5 Events partner. Find links to the entire Pop Goes the Culture Podcast Network and more at popgoestheculture.com.